and welcome to the Entertainment Docket for the week of July 15th. I am your recovering from illness co-host, Michael Staley, and alongside me is the lovely, talented, and up in the North Woods there, Melissa Hansen.
I am, and I'm actually recording this in my bathing suit, because I'm down to the lake as soon as we're done, so let's hurry up.
Okay, let's hurry this up.
I can work on my tan.
What has your week in entertainment been like?
A bunch of documentaries. I actually rewatched Forks Over Knives, which is about health and what we eat and how it's all connected, and it's one of the definitely bigger ones about that subject, and it's quite well done. So anyhow, just kind of refreshed my knowledge on that one. And then I watched one and started watching another of the 30 for 30 documentaries, which were done by ESPN.
Yes.
And I'm not a sportsy person. Like, I like watching games once in a while and going to games, but I am not very knowledgeable. So you would think I would not enjoy these.
Right.
No, they're brilliant. Mm. I watched the Allen Iverson one.
Oh.
Okay. It's not just about a basketball player.
Right.
It's about race relations in smaller town Virginia.
Wow.
I mean, that's really what it's about.
Okay.
So they take these sports themes and then they kind of turn it. I mean, they do a documentary about this, but there's always some other kind of background to it.
So they are socially conscious.
Yeah, some of them. Or it's just about, it's about money and athletes and how they, there's one, I can't remember the name, but how they like blow all their money because no one helps them. You take this 18-year-old kid. Yeah, give them $5 million, and they don't know how to handle it.
Well, we just saw that happen here in New England with the tight end for the Patriots who murdered what would have been his brother-in-law, his fiancé's brother, and he murdered him.
Yeah.
Crazy. And this is a guy with $40 million and 20-something years old.
Right, and you give it and just, yeah, so what is he? And do we, that's a whole nother subject. He's a thug.
Right.
Why are we
with
letting
money.
Him be a sports star?
Yep.
Or should we? Should it have anything to do with each other?
And yet the sad thing is all of these young kids look up to him or them for what they do on the field or on the court.
Yeah,
so
and that's it.
Heroes.
You have this one skill that you may work hard at, but it's a God-given skill. And we make you a hero for that, which also is that you have a responsibility, but also don't we have a responsibility to help you?
Yeah.
Like, take care of it, and, you know, we give them all this money, and they have managers that screw them.
Right.
Or they have no one telling them what to do with it, and they forget their career may be a year long.
Right.
At
right.
most, it'll be 10 years long.
And then what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Sell insurance or used cars or what?
What? So, anyhow, the 30 for 30, even if you're not into sports, totally recommend. I've seen, like, maybe four of them now. They're all top-notch.
Yeah.
The other one I watched, so interesting for me as someone who's into acting in movies and theater, is called That Guy Who Was in That Thing.
I saw that a few weeks ago.
It's fairly new, but it's about character actors.
Yes.
And men who have made a career in Hollywood. And they're the ones that, exactly, oh, that guy, you know, the guy that was in that, you recognize him. But you're not sure exactly from what, or, you know, it's a whole bunch of movies. But anyhow, they're able to make a living for themselves and raise their families and not be mega rich and not be movie stars, but through acting.
And it's a struggle.
And it's such a struggle. There's one point, and I don't know if this is accurate, but it cannot be that far off. On any given day, 99% of the members of the Screen Actor Guild are not working.
It's true. There are 240,000 members of the Screen Actors Guild and AFTRA, which is the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists. So combined, now that union, I'm not sure how many there are. A lot of people are crossover between the two. But you are correct. There are very few people who are working and earning a living. Most of us, and I include myself because I've been a member since 2006, barely, you know, get enough a month to pay, not even our health insurance. I booked a commercial that I just got paid for, and that was only $300.
Yeah.
So it's rough.
Yeah. It's rough, and that's the thing. You have to keep working so much to get benefits.
Oh, it's impossible.
This is this is one of my favorite stories about that, Hilary Swank.
Yes.
Like, the day after she won her Academy Award for Boys Don't Cry, she went to fill her a prescription, and they said, I'm sorry, you don't have your insurance anymore. She had not earned enough money in the past year acting.
Correct.
To keep her benefits, including her health insurance. Yes.
Now, there are supporting agencies. The SAG Foundation does help in cases of an emergency to offer short-term loans and things like that. But
still.
Being an actor, there is an elite percentage of people, a small number of people, like the Sally Fields and the Tom Hanks and stuff like that, who can earn a very healthy living just doing that.
I'm sorry, did you just time warp back to like the 80s with us?
I know, isn't that weird who I picked? I don't know.
Not Brad Pitt and Angelina.
Right. I don't know why they came to mind. Possibly because one of my news items for this week is the SAG AFTRA elections that are coming up.
That could be it.
And these guys are very vocal.
If you want to be an actor, I mean, this is the thing to watch. Because this is, if you can earn a living as acting, chances are you can't. But if you can, give it a try. See if you can. This is what your life's going to be like. You are not going to be Brad Pitt. You are going to be in probably one of the most famous, Bruce Davison.
Yes.
Is in this that you will all recognize from stuff.
From a longtime companion, from X-Men, from...
Right. Yeah. He's probably one of the most. But you will, everybody will come on the screen and you'll be like, oh, I know him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know him. Totally interesting, smart. They're just smart, funny people to hang out with, you know, virtually on your screen. But totally interesting for anyone into acting or even just a movie lover or TV lover, just to see what their real lives are like and see how talented some of them are too. And I loved because Stanley Kamel's in it.
Right, no, the late Stanley Kamel.
Yeah, passed away. And just to see him and all of his wisdom and joy and stuff, it's quite excellent.
Yeah, and he was Monk's therapist on the USA series.
Yeah.
One of the guys who played one of the Cylons on Battlestar Galactica has a great story, too, about how he was living in Los Angeles, and he had gotten lucky early, and then that money was gone, and he sold off everything in his apartment. He sold his car, and he was ready to move back. I mean, he could not do anything anymore when he called his agent and said he was thinking about suicide. He was thinking about committing suicide, and she said, I know somebody over at General Hospital. Let me give him a call. And he got that and was able to kind of recover from all that. But this is the ups and downs, the highs and lows of life being a working actor.
Yeah.
You take shitty jobs. You live paycheck to paycheck. But the reward is doing the work. You know, we often are told the mantra in the acting world is you get paid to wait and you do the work for free.
Exactly.
And that's really – but producers take advantage of this saying you should be grateful that you're getting paid this little amount of money to do what you love. Well, screw you because how's that true for any corporate executive or anything else, that they should be grateful to do that kind of work? No. It's not how this works.
The very interesting thing was the change from 20 years ago to today.
Yes, absolutely.
The reality TV and stuff, they don't need actors.
Right.
And how much the pay has gone down.
Look at the studio contracts that – people Duke like Buck. Cary Grant and Debbie Reynolds and those guys had in the 40s. Harrison Ford was a studio contract actor. He was only acting because he was under contract with the studio.
Yeah. But anyhow, it's full of interesting stories and smart, funny, talented people. So, yeah, I recommend it quite highly if you want to be an actor or an actor, but just people interested in the field. Totally interesting.
Well, I saw a handful of documentaries as well over the past several weeks, and we haven't talked about any of them. One I saw last night on Amazon Prime was called The Celluloid Closet.
Oh, yeah.
Which was based off a best-selling book about the history of lesbians and gays in film. And it's narrated by Lily Tomlin, and it is a fascinating look at the commissions that were put into place in the 1930s, the censorship, how the Catholic Church was so involved in making – they had control over scripts, of edits, of who gets – who casting. It was insane. And it's just – it's an amazing look at how they peel the curtain back on some of these films that you never would have realized had gay subtext, but it was all there. Gore Vidal is interviewed in this, and he talks about Ben-Hur and how he changed the script, but – as Ben-Hur and Messala were former lovers. There was nothing going on in the original Bible story, of course. But the film itself was boring. And Gore was the writer, and he said to director William Wyler, I have some ideas for things that we can do to play subtext to get this up. And he said, well, oh my God. He said, all right, you can tell this to the actor who was playing Messala, but don't you dare tell Chuck Heston because his head will explode. So then they went, as Gore was talking about what he did to the script, they played the scene over his interview, and you can see how the actor who was playing Messala was giving looks and everything. You could see it all there, and Heston had no idea what was going on, but it played so powerfully.
I really, really like that.
Yeah. But it's a compelling documentary. And again, just looking at this world from a very different angle of things you don't normally see, but are there nonetheless. I also saw Super Size Me for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And I will not be eating at McDonald's again anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
Morgan almost died. I mean, the guy almost had permanent liver damage from eating three meals a day at McDonald's for 30 days.
And because we need to eat actual food.
Holy crap.
That is not, most of what we eat is not actual food. All the processed, not even McDonald's, not even fast food.
Right, it's just fast food in general.
We used to eat, like, apples
and
potatoes and stuff, and now we eat stuff out of a box all the time.
Well, and the amazing thing is the physicians who were involved in this, and he just brought a series of three or four different physicians from different disciplines to say, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Can you monitor it? They were all floored at the amount of changes to his body because of this diet. None of them had any idea what the long-term effects of this were.
Well, go watch Forks Over Knives to see when you eat the opposite direction.
Okay.
How floored your doctors are going to be with the results.
All right. And there's another movie that just was released on DVD and Blu-ray last week. It's called A Place at the Table, that takes this whole concept of eating fast food and explores why we do this now and how farming has been basically disbanded in this country.
Right. And why not you and I do it?
Right.
We do it because we're pigs.
Yeah.
Why people who live in extremely poor neighborhoods do it.
Yeah.
And the reason is because that's all they have access to.
Right. It's cheap. It's cheap to produce. And this is, the country is doing this on purpose because all they have to do is grow corn and they can use corn to make all this stuff.
Yeah. I think corn's a huge thing. That's another one. Hey, let's talk all about it. King Corn. Go watch that
one.
There's
another one.
Excellent documentary about corn in this country and how it's destroying us as a society. But people in Watts, people in Harlem, do you think they have farmers markets there?
No, of course not.
No. And we blame them for being fat and unhealthy, but we don't give them any tools, including actual food.
Yeah.
We don't give them access to food, real food.
And even food subsidies, this place at the table.
And then pay out their medical bills.
Right, right.
Too. So we're harming ourselves along with them.
But it looks at the school lunch programs and all these kind of things that are put into place supposedly to help kids, but it's only making them more unhealthy.
It's not. It's to help farmers. And again, Forks Over Knives talks about this.
And farmers, but corporate farms.
The USDA, who tells us what we should eat, their main job is to help farmers. They should not be telling us what we should eat to be healthy when their money they're making is off helping farmers.
Yeah, and there are very few family farms left. We're talking about companies like Archer Daniels Midlands, who are considered farmers because that's the mm-hmm. subsidies that they create. Those are the products that they create, but they are not the traditional family farms.
No. Oh, I didn't know this was going to be a soapbox.
Neither did I. Okay.
Whew.
So that was our socially conscious entertainment for the week. Let's look and see what's been going on at the box office, because we thought it was going to be a disaster for Guillermo del Toro, but it didn't turn out to be too bad.
No, the top three are within $6-7 million.
Yep.
Which is not that big of a gap compared to what we've been seeing. But Despicable Me pulled it out. Despicable Me 2.
Yeah.
Almost $45 million for the weekend. And then Grown Ups 2. $42.5 million, and Pacific Rim is at $38 million.
Yeah, and there was a groundswell of internet support for the film from the fanboy community. Because all during last week, they were saying, oh, it's going to tank. We have all these projections that the theaters are saying. There's no pre-sales. Nobody's going to go see this movie. Well, all of a sudden, everybody on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these places are saying, we got to go see this. And they did. They turned out.
Yeah.
So, and it got decent reviews from people who saw it. Right. I didn't read too many critical opinions.
But yeah. I didn't see anything really horrible about
no.
it.
No.
Anyhow, The Heat came in fourth with 14, and The Lone Ranger came in fifth with 11.
Yeah, that...
Yikes, stripes.
I don't know. Mac reviewed it on the Friday Filibuster, and he was kind of lukewarm about it. He said it's basically two movies. It's a Tonto movie, it's a Lone Ranger movie, and at some point they connect. But he said it could have been, you know, it's over 2 hours. You could have trimmed a heck of a lot out of it. Or just made the Tonto movie and left the Lone Ranger out.
Yeah, that's the more interesting one, to be honest.
Yeah. Coming up at the box office this week, we're already moving out of kind of the summer tentpole pictures, and we're getting into some of the more interesting stuff. There's still a handful of big things left. Turbo, which is DreamWorks' new animated comedy, which is going to give Despicable Me a run for its money. It's about a snail who ingests nitroglycerin fuel from a race car, and he becomes a super big racer. That opens on Wednesday this week. On Friday... we've got Ryan Reynolds and Jeff Bridges in the comic book adaptation, paranormal police comedy, buddy comedy, RIPD, Rest in Police Department, I forget what it stands for, RIPPD.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got Red 2, we got Red 2, which is the sequel to the Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, Helen Mirren.
And Mary Louise Parker stars in
yes.
that and in RIPD.
Yes. Oh, she's in RIPD too?
Yeah, it is her weekend.
Well, I should say. Well, good for her. I love her.
Yeah.
And RIPD was filmed here in Boston, so everyone's all really excited about seeing the city that way. Red 2 is the hitmen, CIA hitmen. They reunite for another mission, blah, blah, blah. Here's the two interesting things. One's called The Conjuring. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are a husband and wife ghost hunters.
Okay.
Who travel out to a haunted farmhouse owned by Lily Taylor and Ron Livingston.
Ugh.
And all hell breaks loose.
Nice.
So it's a horror movie.
But that cast, it's going to be an interesting...
Yeah. How bizarre is that? Now, here's the other interesting one.
Mm-hmm.
Nicholas Refn and Ryan Gosling, who did Drive together.
Okay.
Reunite for a revenge drama. Ryan plays a Bangkok drug dealer, a drug smuggler, who hunts down his brother's killer at the behest of his mother.
Okay.
Interesting. I don't know.
Yeah.
In the hands of those two guys? Drive was an incredible film. It needed very little dialogue at all.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what this does. So, quite a variety for you to choose from at the box office this coming week. Over at DVD and Blu-ray, on Tuesday, we've got 42, which is the Jackie Robinson biopic. And I hear so many people say biopic, and it sounds like some kind of optical disease that you're suffering from.
It sounds like you need to go to the doctor.
Right, it's biopic, as in biography picture. Evil Dead, which is the kind of gory, humorless remake of the Sam Raimi classic. In terms of BBC television on DVD, we've got Orphan Black Season 1. Did you see any of that?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I haven't either, but it keeps getting a lot of positive buzz about how good it is. We've got The Doctors Revisited for Doctor Who. So it's the first four Doctors, which kind of get... I'm disappointed because they only get 25 minutes of kind of a retrospective on each one of these Doctors. So it's Tom Baker and... Oh, my God, they'll sleep blanking.
I don't know the order, so don't even ask me.
Well, I'm going backwards. So Tom Baker, John Pertwee, Patrick Troughton, and William Hartnell is the first Doctor. So they each get a 25-minute retrospective, which has people like Neil Gaiman and David Tennant and Stephen Moffat talking about their experiences of watching Doctor Who growing up and things like that. And then you've got a full story arc for each of them.
Okay.
So you get four full, you know, multi-part episodes for each.
Got it.
Which is good. But I think, at least for Tom Baker, who is the longest running Doctor, that you could have had an hour worth of retrospective on him.
Yeah,
and it does bring back you know, people who were in the show who are still alive. So Tom Baker himself is in there. And a lot of the companions, unfortunately, this was filmed before Elizabeth Sladen passed away, so we don't get her, which is disappointing. But anyways, that's out this week. And then two other season finales on DVD. You've got Damages, the final season, and then Matlock, the final season.
Alrighty then.
Which is currently in the hands of Dave Johnson.
Oh, excellent.
Much to his surprise. Over at Redbox this week, it's a lot of the stuff we've talked about over the last couple weeks coming to DVD and Blu-ray. You got Spring Breakers, you've got Dead Man Down, Tyler Perry's Temptations, and then Wiener Dog Nationals. So for those of you who like dachshunds, this one's for you.
All right.
New on Netflix this week, Orange is the New Black, which is the latest Netflix original series. It stars Laura Prepon and Natasha Lyonne. It's women in prison.
Okay, then.
All right. New Girl, the Fox series with Zooey Deschanel. You've got two new Disney movies, not new Disney movies, old Disney movies that are new to Netflix, Mulan and The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which my niece, my 10-year-old niece, watched for the first time, and she said, wow, that was kind of intense. I didn't know Disney movies were like that. Yeah, Judge Claude Frollo wasn't exactly her favorite character of all time.
No.
And then we've got a great television documentary on Johnny Carson called The King of Late Night, which talks to people like Jimmy Fallon and David Letterman and Jay Leno about just how amazing Johnny Carson was over the years and defining that genre of television. Not much to find at Hulu this week. You've got Cemetery Club, which is one of those, I hate to say, senior comedies, but it's Debbie Reynolds, Olympia Dukakis.
But it is.
It is. It's for a very specific audience. Mm-hmm. John Lovitz presents, so he continues to cultivate the next generation of stand-up comedian. He has his own theater at Universal City in L.A., that's where Kevin Smith records all his podcasts these days. Mm-hmm. But John cultivates, you know, new stand-up comics, and he's kind of become the Pauly Shore's mom version of this generation, right? What was her name? Like Mimi or something like that.
Mitzi
Shore.
Yeah, she found all those comics back in the 80s. Yep.
The Comedy Warehouse or the Comedy Store, I forget which one was hers, on Sunset.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, but yeah. Yep, she was the shit back then. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the gay drama August, which has gotten some critical acclaim as well as on Hulu this week. And I'm going to throw it over to you for television.
Okay, well, we are more into the kind of more typical summer stuff. But on Monday, all you, I don't know, youngsters out there, at least compared to me, the iHeartRadio Ultimate Pool Party.
I keep hearing commercials.
iHeartRadio does that huge, like, weekend-long concert. Yeah. This is, like, highlights from it and stuff. So, right. With a whole bunch of artists either I don't know or I just kind of roll my eyes when I see them. Tuesday, though, it's CW this week, man. Tuesday, Whose Line Is It Anyway? Version. Drew Carey's out. Aisha Taylor's in. But some of the old regulars from the previous incarnation, and then special famous guest stars.
Yep.
Each episode that's on, and then Perfect Score, which is like a dating whatever reel, I think. But those are on Tuesday on CW. And then okay, we're gonna play a game with Wednesday night. There's a new show.
Okay.
Tell me what channel you think it's on. Okay. It's called Nazi Mega Weapons.
History Channel.
No. It's not History. It's not A&E.
Military Channel.
No, it's actually a PBS show.
Shut up.
So it may actually be interesting instead of exploitive.
All right.
And it actually is like all these big plans like Hitler had for crazy weapons or walls or defenses or, you know.
Yeah, we don't really know the depths of his insanity.
Yeah. So anyhow, PBS Wednesday night. For you people who usually watch the History Channel might actually want to watch PBS.
Okay.
And then Thursday, we have, speaking of history, we have Swamp People finale on History. And then alternate programming, we have Project Runway premiere on Lifetime for that. And Sunday this week, I was looking through and I saw a finale of a show I hadn't heard about. And I was really ticked. I didn't hear about this show beforehand. It sounded so interesting. And then I realized it wasn't what I thought it was. It's on Animal Planet. It's called Top Hooker.
Ha ha ha!
It's actually about deep sea fishing. I was so disappointed when I read the description.
America's Next Top Hooker.
So, see, we should start our own production company.
I think so.
We got some ideas here.
Yep.
All right. So, it's Kids Week in music.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of kids with a Z, Bop 24.
Holy
shit. Up to 24 this time.
Wow.
Really?
And that's all basically right. Remakes of popular top 40 tunes, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they have kids sing pop yes. songs.
Yeah, it's like your annoying neighbor's kid who sings right. this song endlessly.
Right. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, and then Cody Simpson, who all the kids adore, Surfer's Paradise, his new one is out.
Okay.
For us older people, Sarah Bareilles has
nice.
One called The Blessed Unrest.
Did you know she lived in Venice?
Ah, cool. Yeah. And then also new one from Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, nice.
Called Electric.
Sweet.
And then Lickety Split, Robert Randolph and the Family Band.
Oh.
Who, if you ever can see them in concert, go. It'll be the best thing you have ever seen live.
Oh, how they switch up instruments on different tunes.
Oh, it's just amazing. Anyhow, that new album out. And then for soundtrack this week, we're back to the kids. Teen Beach Movie soundtrack.
Oh, boy. We're getting pitched all sorts of interviews for that Disney Channel movie.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
All right. Books, no Patterson, but probably got one of the close runner-ups for most books. Danielle Steele has a new one called First Sight. And if you're into the romance stuff, there are a whole bunch of new or old ones, but it's new that they're on ebook, Nora Roberts stuff.
So are these women contemporaries with like a Jackie Collins? Are they
yeah.
all about the same age?
I don't know how old Nora Roberts is. Danielle okay. Steele's pretty far up there.
Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Totally switching streams here. Huh. Love, Dishonor, Marry, Die, Cherish, Perish by David Rakoff.
Ooh.
Who passed away about a year ago.
Yeah.
This was the book he was working on. When he died, he was a huge contributor to public radio. He was a great essayist, humorist.
Yeah.
I love hearing him, and this is the sad part. We won't be able to hear him like do recordings and tell stories from this book. But anyhow, his last book is out this week. If you are a big Kennedyite, Kennedy fan, I don't know, what would you call him?
Kennedy head.
Two books. Rose Kennedy, The Life and Times of a Political Matriarch by Barbara A. Perry. And then JFK's Last 100 Days, The Transformation of a Man and the Emergence of a Great President by Thurston Clark. So you'll be set this week. And My Lunches with Orson, Conversations Between Henry Jaglom and Orson Welles.
Yeah, Henry's a director and a very yeah. prominent indie film director.
Exactly. And I guess they sat and like recorded conversations they had. They go out, like would do lunch
oh,
and
wow.
record their conversation. Peter Biskind has transcribed them and put them together in a book.
You know who else was very good friends with Orson Welles? Was Sybil Shepherd.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was starting off her career then. And
Okay.
And then we got a couple sports things. Fantasy Life, the outrageous, uplifting, and heartbreaking world of fantasy sports from the guy who's lived it. Matthew Berry. I guess he's an ESPN guy. I don't know. All right. Anyhow. And then the Daily Herald, who's actually a Chicago area paper,
mm-hmm.
has Unstoppable, the Chicago Blackhawks' dominant 2013 championship season.
Nice.
So all you Hawks fans can pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then theater news. I'm really, really disappointed.
What?
I would love to. I wonder if they'll be able to release it at all. Okay. They are working on a musical of Animal House.
The National Lampoon's Animal House?
Yes.
Wow.
And it's actually the producer of the film is producing the new musical. So they're just working on it now.
Okay.
And they fired the original songwriters.
Oh, boy.
They had. Because they say, so Maddie Simmons, the producer, says, it just wasn't something we liked.
Okay.
We wanted music that would fit the story and the nature of the story. and the rockiness of the story. The movie has a personality, and the music had to suit it, you know? And it just had to be good.
Mm. Well, sometimes it isn't.
Right. The people that got fired?
Yeah.
Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yep.
Whoops. Well, you know what? Those guys have a very specific sound.
And they do.
I wouldn't, you know, for as much as I was kind of amazed at what Tim Rice and Elton John did for Lion King, not look what Bono and The Edge did for Spider-Man. I mean, that didn't work either.
Right.
So you can't say.
But Cyndi Lauper made it work for Kinky Boots.
Well,
so.
But, you know.
It depends. It's hit or miss.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I guess Bare Naked Ladies were a miss. So I wonder what. How much they actually did, and if we'll ever be able to hear it, or I don't know.
And I'll say it again. Kind of Bare Naked Ladies is not the same without Stephen Page. So.
Nope. All right.
All right.
Okay, so let's all cry together over our news this week.
Well, which story do you want to start with?
Yeah, which horrible story you pick.
Let's do with the heavy hitter stuff and go with the Trayvon Martin verdict.
Okay, so George Zimmerman verdict. Which this is a Hollywood story because this was aired like crazy and talked about like crazy. And so George Zimmerman found not guilty, even though they were offered the chance to do manslaughter, which shocks me that they did not find him guilty on that. And part of the story is the reaction.
Yeah.
I mean, from sports figures and actors and famous people, the reaction, the dismay, and the anger over the verdict.
Well, Michael B. Jordan was getting ready to do a Q&A for his movie Fruitvale Station. And
oh, gosh.
I know. And he said, you know what? We're not going to talk about this. He said, I cannot handle talking about any of this right now. And if that's where this discussion is going to go, then I'm going to say I'm just going to bow out.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's too intense.
Yeah, Fruitvale Station's based on a true story of a shooting of a young black man in San Francisco area on the BART public transportation.
Right.
So it's just, I don't know. There's a little bit of shock and dismay at it. There's a lot of anger about it.
I suppose on the upside, we didn't have the type of riots that we had after the O.J. Simpson verdict.
Yeah.
You know.
Yes. But I guess... You know, part of the sadness is that whether somebody got away with murder or whether the prosecution just didn't do their job and the jury did make the right decision.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Either way, it's just the injustice of the entire system.
Mm-hmm.
The system failed, you know, and it goes back to the system and not necessarily the justice system, but our entire sociological system has failed.
Yeah.
To allow this stuff to keep happening.
Yeah. And I will say this, and I have had friends online talking about, why did the media have to make this about race? It's not about race. Yeah. And I think they're wrong.
Yeah.
I think the reason it's a story, I think the reason it at first wasn't being prosecuted is because Trayvon was black. I think the reason it ended up being prosecuted is because Trayvon is black, was black. They didn't want to look bad. I think it's tied up in this, and whether Zimmerman followed him because he was black, I think he did. I don't know for sure what was going through his head, but there is a race element to this.
Of course. I mean, flip it around. If it was a black man shooting a white kid.
Whether it's about the crime or whether it's about the prosecution or whether it's about the media reporting it, there is a race element to this entire story. And it's going to be really interesting, first of all, to see how safe George Zimmerman is.
Oh.
It's going to see how this changes reporting of crimes. It's going to change how this changes laws to not let someone like him get off again or not change of laws. And it keeps going. And it's going to be interesting to see the effects this has in other arenas, in the legal arena, in the media arena.
And I hope it's positive. I hope it all comes out to the positive that if that's the silver lining in all of this, that things will change as a result, then so be it. But I hate to have a sacrifice of anybody for us to wake up to those types of decisions.
Yeah. All right, so after that news broke last night, and I had a bit of a cry and went to bed, I'm glad I did, because when I woke up, I had a bit of a cry over another big news story.
Yep, about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time, we got news that Glee star Corey Monteith had been found dead in his hotel room in British Columbia.
Unbelievable.
31 years old. Just released from rehab.
Yeah.
A week ago, I think.
Oh, no. It was... No? Couple months ago.
Oh,
this is spring. He checked himself in short term. He had been in when he was like 19. He had severe problems when he was a teenager. He felt like he was starting to have an issue again. So we don't know if this relates. I mean, this just happened. We have to wait for coroner's reports.
Autopsy scheduled for Monday.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. You know, your best guess that it was an overdose or so, but who knows? Have to wait and see. Actual facts. Let's wait for that. Yeah. What do you say?
Oh, why? Because then people like Nancy Grace would have nothing to talk about.
Oy vey. But just sad, because he really was amazingly talented.
Yeah.
He was a great actor. He was a great singer and musician and just seemed like all around nice guy. And finally, you know, like this guy who worked hard and struggled and tried to make it, you know, 10-year overnight success.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, but had the world at his feet, and he's gone.
But that just shows, I mean, artists in general, I mean, you go back all the way back to Beethoven or Van Gogh, and just the mental illness that is involved in creative people leads to these types of addictions, because we cannot deal with certain things in life, whether it be the rejection, whether it be the inability to to perform the art that we feel so compelled to perform. It's tough, and there's no surefire system in place to help anybody deal with this stuff, and that's the sad thing, because these things continue to happen.
Yeah. So, anyhow, yeah, we'll have to wait and see once we get actual facts and evidence and the true story.
All right, on to more or less considerably important news. Roger Corman's Sharknado.
Good Lord, this was... Jeez, if it hadn't had tragedies, this would have been that totally top story of the week.
Lit up social media over the weekend. 1.3 million viewers. Now, we've interviewed Roger Corman. He got a contract with Sci-Fi Channel to basically pitch ideas, like the most ridiculous, stupid, like Sharktopus and things like this. And then they would, you know, farm it off to some writer or team of writers to go and do, and they would produce it on the cheap with cheesy special effects, and these were supposed to be ridiculous drive-in B-movies for cable TV. That's what they were. Friday night stupid movies that we would all pay a buck for to go see at the drive-in when we were kids. But they've caught on to be these, you know, what's the next stupid sci-fi original movie to come out? Well, Sharknado is basically a mega water-based tornado that sucked up a whole group of sharks. And then when it rained, it unleashed these sharks on an unsuspecting populace.
Like the frogs in Magnolia?
Yes.
But it's freaking sharks that bite your head off.
Do you remember that frog experience that we had on the streets?
Everywhere one night.
Yes. So it does happen.
It does happen. And they do. Like ponds will get sucked up.
Yep.
And like deposited somewhere else kind of thing. Yep. But this is insane. I'm sorry. I did not watch it.
Nope. I didn't either.
I went to just look at my Twitter the next morning just to see, and I turned off my Twitter because that was all it was from the night before. There were like hundreds of Sharknado live tweets.
Oh my God. And I love the fact that who starred in this movie was Beverly Hills 90210's Ian Ziering.
Yes. Well, and frickin' wait, how do we describe her now? Tara Reid.
Oh God. Train wreck.
We still, train wreck hot mess.
Yeah.
Like that's how we're doing it. Or are we back to like just sing American Pie?
Oh my God, no. So, in other words, sci-fi is just gearing up for the next, you know, stupid movie that they can
throw. Yeah, all of you, we're now going to have more. Thanks.
Yep, thanks.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
The teaser trailer has been released for How to Train Your Dragon 2, which takes place 5 years after the original. I didn't see the first one, but the way animated films are going these days, this is sure going to make another huge amount of money at the box office. Netflix is in talks with Mitch Hurwitz on Arrested Development Season 5. No big surprise there. I think half of the reason they did this is because he does have other ideas he wants to explore.
Yeah.
And if they're going to be as creatively rewarding as season four was, go for it.
Yeah.
Two of our favorite people, Greg Grunberg and Diane Farr, are fronting a sitcom pilot for USA Network.
Okay, no.
What?
Our favorite. You're going to have to get Diane Farr in my favorite list.
You loved, like, The Job and...
I like that despite of her. Diane Farr drives me up the damn wall.
She was on Numbers.
I know.
She went to high school with our friend Lloyd.
I know. I'm so sorry, Lloyd. She drives me. Oh, she's like nails on the chalkboard to me. As much as I love Greg Grunberg,
I think she's
Diane Farr's opposite end.
All right.
Okay.
Anyways, so USA is creating a sitcom pilot for them to be the parents of four unique children and the challenges that they have, because they want to pair this as a bookend to the network's new airings of Modern Family, which are going to start in the fall.
Okay.
A story that you sent to me, J.K. Rowling's cover has been blown.
Yeah, hello.
As the author of Cuckoo's Calling, an acclaimed new crime novel that was supposedly written by a married father of two who was a retired investigator or something.
Right. So she wanted to write this book and didn't want it just to be big because of her name. So she picked a pseudonym and like a backstory for the author. And somebody realized this book is too good to be written by a first-time author.
Right.
And they did a little investigating and called her on it. That it's really her.
Well, good for her, because that she did a follow-up book to Harry Potter, and I forget what it was, but it didn't go over very well.
So. She did her, what was it, last fall? Last fall, she had her first, like, adult novel.
Yeah.
And it didn't get great reviews.
Which is probably why she went with a pseudonym this time.
Bingo. So it'll be based on the merit of the work.
Right, as opposed to her.
Instead of either great because people love her or backlash against her. Yeah. So, anyhow.
Anyhow, Johnny Depp is moving his production company to the Disney lot, which is surprising.
This is not shocking. I can't believe he's not there already.
I know. But he, at the same time, he's finalizing his role as the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland 2 for director James Bobbin. And I got into it on Facebook with a couple of my friends who are also in the industry as, you know, entertainment journalists, because they were trying to tell me that Dark Shadows was a much better movie than Alice in Wonderland.
Oh. Why didn't you? I got your back on that.
Oh, and I'm like, what? What are you guys smoking right now? And the stuff that I heard from them was that Alice in Wonderland is the worst movie that Tim Burton has ever made.
Oh, bite me.
Yeah. So I kind of left it at that. Chris and Dan, I love you guys, but we're not going to have this discussion. I'm not going to be a part of this discussion because you're just talking crazy. Oprah Winfrey and her fledgling cable network, which I'm still surprised is on the air, has landed an exclusive interview with Lindsay Lohan, speaking of hot messes. And in exchange, Oprah is giving Lindsay an 8-episode documentary reality series.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. In a move to prevent an unwanted spectacle at Comic-Con, officials have disinvited Ender's Game author Orson Scott Card from participating in the film's presentation this week before a heavily populated LGBT crowd. The writer's unabashed views on gays and gay marriage resulting from a Supreme Court decision have created all sorts of trouble for Lionsgate and the film's producers as they get ready for the November 1st theatrical release of the film. And I give the Comic-Con folks a lot of credit, because you don't want that hell coming down on you.
Yeah.
At all. Mm-hmm. NBC's Chicago Fire is getting a spinoff in the form of Chicago PD.
Big
surprise there. But hey, great news for all of our theater and film colleagues in the Windy City, because that just means more work for them.
Yep.
And one last note, Fast and Furious' Justin Lin is developing an hour-long action drama on the life of the late Bruce Lee.
Uh-huh.
They haven't pitched it to a specific network yet, but it could be interesting if it goes the route of the Jason Scott Lee film Dragon, that has kind of that mystical element and the curse that was supposedly on the family.
Yeah.
So, curious to see where that goes. All right, I'm done.
Okay. Well, as Kanye is still running around saying to the paparazzi, don't talk to me, don't talk to me, don't you dare talk to me. That's his line now.
Idiot.
They like come near him. He's like, don't talk to me. I told you not to talk to me. Like, he runs the world and can tell people what to do. Mm-hmm. But my sweet little Lamar, whose bald head I want to kiss, he like became an ass all of a sudden.
Jeez.
Like a nice guy. Well, he seems. But I don't know what really happened, what the paparazzi said, but Lamar went off. Uh-oh. He went in the guy's car, opened guy's door, started throwing his shit out in the middle of the street.
Yeah, he'll be brought a lawsuit against him soon.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, it wasn't like he yelled at somebody or whatever. So then, but then he, like, went and got, I don't know, something out of his car and started, like, smashing another paparazzi's car with it. And, like, yeah, he went off in the middle of the street.
Yeah, so. The Los Angeles justice system does not think kindly of people who attack paparazzi, despite the fact that they are constantly hounding and tormenting and terrorizing celebrities of all nature.
Yeah. So, yeah, like I said, I don't know really, we'll never know for sure what brought it on or who's in the wrong, but, well, who was wrong to begin with? Because he was definitely in the wrong at the end here.
All right. Well, we have a contest this week.
We do. It's called Erased.
Ooh.
It's a CIA spy-y kind of thing with Aaron Eckhart.
Yep, exactly. Ooh. And I think Dave Johnson is working on the review of that. All right. Well, that'll do it for us on this extended, socially conscious, somewhat soapboxy version of the Entertainment Docket. We thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, thank you for heading over to DVDverdict.com to read our reviews, which we got a very lovely email from one of our readers who said that she always used to follow Roger Ebert's reviews and how passionate he was about film. And she's very glad to have found us since he passed away because she feels that we are one of the best review sites out there. And that's very sweet.
Seriously, we're not making this shit up, guys.
No.
Somebody actually said that about us.
Yep. So
woo.
Thank you, Pamela, for that very nice note. All right, that'll do it. Thank you guys for tuning in, Melissa, and until next week, take it away.
Where human hearts are staunch and true, I shall start my life anew. Goodbye.